We are live. That is true. In Southern California, I'm Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. A tremendous Monday to you. Lots to get done. It is a huge, huge day. Huge day in sports. Huge day on the program. Let's get at it. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. We are front-loading on this Monday. A couple of interviews in hour number one, but I would suggest you try to get through right now. Again, 1-800-636-8686. If you're not about that life, you're not about the phones, you'd rather hit me up on social, do that too. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, or just email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews look like this. Coming up next segment, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson. He was on the postseason and, of course, covers the NFL, so lots to talk to him about. That's coming up next segment. Later on this hour, Dallas Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith. He's a stud. Jalen Smith coming up, 40 past. Second hour is wide open in hour number three. The new head football coach at Houston, Dana Holgorsen. So it is a big day. National championship game tonight. Wild card weekend in the books. Some NBA and more. Again, do not waste any time. Get to me right now, 1-800-636-8686. All right, so wild card weekend. Definitely one of the best sports weekends of the entire year. And this one lived up to the hype. In fact, it smashed it. Four games. Each one had something that blew your mind. And even if the first three did not do it for you, then the last one, Philadelphia at Chicago, had to. I mean, when you get right down to it, you could have missed the first three games and even the first 59 minutes of Eagles-Bears and still had yourself an amazing sports weekend, because the final minute of that game last night really was that good. Philly down 15-10, fourth down, ball on the Bears' two-yard line, 56 seconds left. Go ahead and roll it.
Three-man rush. Rolls out of the pocket. Sidearm throw. Caught. Goal line. Touchdown, Golden Tate. Got inside the hash mark, and Philadelphia has scored. The Eagles have scored and taken the lead with 56 seconds to play. A two-yard touchdown pass to Golden Tate on the sidearm delivery by the Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles.
Thanks to Westwood One. Now, I thought I did a pretty good job of setting that up, except I left out one key detail. One key detail before we rolled that. The key detail being Nick Foles was your quarterback. And if Nick Foles is the quarterback in a critical moment in a playoff game, then you already know how that's going to end. Of course, that was going to be a TD, because that's what Nick Foles does. He goes from good quarterback to unreal in pressure moments. It's one of the freakiest things ever, and it's also one of the most predictable things ever. I mean, it doesn't matter that this guy's going up against the best defense in the NFL. It doesn't matter what he had done until that point. It doesn't matter that he's throwing to a wide receiver who's only been with that team for half the season. And yes, the already tired thing to say right now is that Golden Tate trade paid for itself on that play. Except that trade paid for itself on that play. Except then again, Nick Foles could have had me on the field instead of Golden Tate, and he still would have found a way to score. It was always going to be a touchdown. Let me say it again. That's because that's what Nick Foles does. Before that ball was snapped on fourth down, the only question was, would Chicago be attempting a field goal to tie the game or to win it? And after a long replay review, one of many over the weekend, the answer was for the win. And after a huge 35-yard return on the kick, Mitchell Trubisky threw an incomplete pass on first down, and then this on second down.
On pretty much a windless night, second down and 10. Trubisky hangs in the pocket, throws, and it's going to be caught by Allen Robinson. Tremendous night for him.
It was a tremendous night for him. In fact, for both of them, that was NBC. There are dimes, and then there's that. As perfect a pass as you can throw in that situation. Clutch, really clutch. And then the Bears are within field goal range. Soldier Field going insane. And then it only got better because an 8-yard pass to Robinson on the next play got them even closer. After a spike and an incomplete pass, it was all right there for Cody Parkey. All right there for him to win that game for the Bears. Now, I could introduce the clip, but you already know the clip, so let me just go ahead and roll it.
Holding will be the punter, O'Donnell. Far hash on the grass. For the lead, ball put down. Right-footed kick is up, end over end. And now he hit the crossbar. After he hit the upright, he hit the upright again. He's done it all season long.
Yeah, just not a single doink, but a double doink. I didn't know that was even possible. But if anybody can do it, it would be Parkey, who had 4-1 game earlier this season, and he had another one last week. Run that back again, and this time, if you're near a TV, check out the Bears mascot behind the goalpost.
For the lead, ball put down, right-footed kick is up, end over end, and now he hit the crossbar. After he hit the upright, he hit the upright again. He's done it all season long.
Staley DeBear wilts like an inflatable that just got stuck with a pin. Hell, the entire stadium had all the air sucked right out of it. I have never seen that much shock all at once. The reaction shots on the Bears sideline is like something from a Renaissance painting. Even the Eagle players were stunned. And the fans, jaws slamming into seats because that stadium just endured the biggest buzzkill and the biggest record scratch ever with the worst sound ever.
Bend doink. And now we hit the crossbar.
Doink. And then it's followed by this sound as Parkey left the field at the end of the game. You knew that was coming. You knew the second that ball did not get over the crossbar that that was the reaction you were going to get. Just like you knew that degenerates were going to hop on Twitter and send some of the most vile, despicable crap at the kicker. Look, I get it. I understand it. You're angry that your team lost. But if you feel the need to thumb out a bunch of garbage at another human being that you've never even met, you're the loser, not Parkey. Parkey's not the reason your life did not turn out the way you had hoped. You are. I mean, I'd love to sit here and tell you that nobody felt worse about that double doink than the kicker himself, but that's actually not true. Plenty of you losers actually felt way worse than he did. How else would you explain all the utter garbage that you were thumbing out to this guy? Trust me, he felt like crap. But unlike some of you, he handled his with complete class and dignity.
I struck a good ball there, and unfortunately, I mean, I can't make this up. I hit the post, what, 6 times this year, and I hit it twice on that one. You can't make this up. I mean, I feel terrible with the team down. That's on me. So I have to own it. I have to be a man, and, you know, it's unfortunately, that's the way it went today.
Again, I wish I could say that all the fans handled that as well as he did, but I can't. Look, Bears fan, don't turn this guy into the new Steve Bartman. It's not right. In fact, it's all wrong. And let me give you some reasons why. Number one, it looked like Eagles defensive lineman Trayvon Hester may have gotten a hand on it. Number two, it's not like the offense was exactly killing it in the red zone. They had a total of one TD the entire game. Number three, let's not forget, the Bears had the best defense in the NFL, and they allowed a 12-play, 80-yard TD drive with the season on the line. So yes, this conversation is completely different if he makes that kick. Then he's a legend and probably never has to buy another drink in Chicago for the rest of his life. And while he will get most of the blame, there were lots of other guys in Bears gear who could have stepped up earlier but didn't. But now everybody wants Parkey to wear it. He gets to wear the tweets, the boos, and the creeps who are saying things like they don't feel sorry for him because of how much money he makes. I mean, you think this guy wouldn't immediately write a check for this year's salary just to have that pick or that kick back? I guarantee he would. Look, I'm not saying that you've got to hype this guy for trying really hard. I'm not saying you have to cheer this guy off the field. The guy did have a job to do. He didn't get it done. I'm not even saying that you shouldn't be pissed. I'm saying don't reach for your phone or your laptop so you can knock out some obscene tweet about a waste of life. What a waste of life this guy is, when the only reason that you're really going to do it is because you hate your own life. Yeah, the guy was on a losing team. But some of you have a losing life. In the meantime, go ahead and tip your hat to Philly for doing what Philly does and what Nick Foles does, clutching the hell up and finding a way to survive and advance. And I'm not singling out or saying it's all of you Bear fans. Far from it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the ones who deserve it. You know who you are. You're better than that, or at least I thought you were. 1-800-636-8686. Your thoughts on that game last night. Your thoughts on any of the games over the weekend. Charles Robinson's coming up next segment. Jalen Smith coming up in the segment after that. Really quickly off the top, Dear Rome. Actually, seeing as to who this is from, let me read it like this. Like always, idiotic Chicago sports fans are way off base. Instead of killing Cody Parkey, they should be killing the so-called vaunted Bears defense. A great defense doesn't surrender a five-point lead late in the fourth quarter. It's as simple as that, dummies. The only downside to the Eagles winning is now we have to suffer through a call from high-pitched Mark in Hollywood. The only acting this D-bag does is acting to be an Eagles fan. Little man didn't utter a word about the team until last year's title run. The only person you're fooling is yourself, you fraudulent little scumbag. War Frank Reich. Rick in Buffalo. Man, it's not easy being that guy or doing that guy, especially being that guy. Yet, like I said, the kicker didn't get it done, but he's far from the only guy to blame here. This email reads, Dear Bears, no senor, no senor, no senor. Signed, that Spanish commentating team.
Yeah. De Cody Parkey, 43 yardas. El snap, le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. Oh. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria.
Thanks to WIP for that. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. Cowboys, Seahawks. Dallas finds a way to get it done. We will get into that as well. When we come back, Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, joins us. And you know what to do with it, and you know where to find me. Call me up. Clones Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike that brings the energy of live studio classes right into your home anytime you want. Winter or summer, rain or shine. With Peloton Bike, it is always the perfect weather to sweat. And with up to 14 live rides a day, and over 10,000 more on demand, nothing is going to get between you and your workout. Peloton features live cycling classes streaming right into your home every day, featuring real-time motivation from world-class instructors. So whether it's a monthly challenge to meet your goals, a training program for your next race, or setting a new personal best, the Peloton bike will make you want to show up and keep climbing the live leaderboard year-round on average. Peloton members are riding their bikes more and more every single year and crushing their personal records along the way. So learn more about the Peloton bike at onepeloton.com or visit your local showroom, onepeloton.com. You know I've got my bike. I ride it at least five times a week. I love it. onepeloton.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Jacksonville Queen is in. Ms. Nika at Nika989 tweets. Breaking out the tenderoni special for Parkey. Mind eraser. I'll make him forget
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the game, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
Well, that's got to make him feel good. She's offering up the mind eraser. We are efforting Charles Robinson. Dear Rome Slice, after that nerd, Cody Parkey, doinked that kick, Khalil Mack should have body slammed him and broke his glasses. I'm sick and tired of this guy. The last time he came in, he did the same damn thing. Signed, Greg Gianforte.
I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came in here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Casey, New Hampshire. See, the thing is, Khalil Mack did not do that quote to that nerd. In fact, they all had his back. They all had his back. They all had his back. In the meantime, the kick was tipped, right? There is that. The kick was tipped. Charger is getting it done. I've got lots of thoughts on that game. And LA, as they look ahead to another shot against the Patriots. This lady clones all about it. Hi, Jim. Happy New Year. I am so excited for the Pats-Chargers game. Now would be a good time for the Chargers to straighten out that flaccid lightning bolt on their helmets. Have you ever seen such a weak electrical charge? Bolts are supposed to emerge with striking force from the heavens above. And this thing is frowning like it just lost its puppy. So sad. Signed, Sarah T. War double doinking on the first date?
Double.
Easy, Sarah. Sarah's feeling it. Because the Pats have got a playoff game at home. Because the Pats are going up against Philip Rivers and the Chargers, who they're 7-0 against. Philip Rivers and the Chargers have not beaten the Patriots. You can hear that all week long. 0-7. In the meantime, I am looking for a telephone call. 1-800-636-8686. One more email. Hey, Jim. Horrible break for Cody Parkey, but props to him for owning it in the postgame. Having said that, some of the blame has got to go to Matt Nagy. Only 10 guys on defense on that TD. Not using your first to three timeouts when the Eagles were about to take the lead hurt them as well. Mike in Buffalo helping them. Yeah, I'm not sure what he was doing, not calling timeout in that situation. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, Charles Robinson, is my guest. Avi, it's not showing up on my line. Why don't you bring him up? Or you don't have him. All right, so I'm going to continue to effort that for you. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what Nagy was doing, not using his timeouts. I mean, obviously, it's Philadelphia. Charles, good morning. What's up? How are you?
What's up, bro? How you doing, man?
Great. Perfect. Awesome. Great to have you on. Let me jump right into it. So you were in Arlington for the Seahawks-Cowboys game, and we're only a couple of months removed from the Cowboys being 3-5, and there being all that legitimate talk, finally, that Jason Garrett's job was in jeopardy, but Jerry Jones did not fire him then. How much vindication was there for Jones on Saturday?
I mean, he's feeling it. There's no doubt. I mean, I asked him, do you feel vindication for yourself? And then also, obviously, for Jason Garrett. And he unequivocally said yes. You know, I've probably tried to fire Jason like four times over the last couple of years. So, and I know I'm not alone. And Jerry has sort of gone through that flogging almost on a weekly basis the last couple of seasons with Jason Garrett. And I thought Jerry made an interesting point. He said, you know, and I like the way he put it. He basically said, Jason has learned a lot of lessons on our dimes. And I was like, wow, okay, you're going to bring up the fact that you paid this guy for, you know, a lack of postseason success. And Jerry basically said, look, you know, we'd like to use that now. We've spent all this money essentially getting this guy to the point where we feel like, you know, he's a pretty seasoned coach. Meanwhile, the rest of the NFL, he called it the hunt for Red October. You've got eight, you know, franchises out here trying to find a head coach. We've got a guy that we feel like, you know, we feel pretty good with, and we got a quarterback who's, you know, slowly progressing under him. But really, you're bringing on Jalen Smith. Like, this defense is sick, and I frankly think there could be an argument made that through the rest of these playoffs, this might be the best defense that's still on the board.
Charles Robinson joining us. All right, so go back to the quarterback for a minute, because after the game, Ezekiel Elliott said that Dak Prescott had back-to-back weeks of playing, quote, like a grown-ass man. Now, Prescott, of course, had that special rookie season. He then had a rough second year. He got off to a slow start this year. So where is he right now as a quarterback?
Look, he's getting better. I think it's marginal. He's not taking these big leaps forward. However, you know, if you go back and you look at when they acquire Amari Cooper from the Raiders, that's really when this offense started to open up, because it took a number of pieces that I think were really second tier pieces in terms of the skill positions, and it bumps them all down, and it gives Amari Cooper someone to balance out Zeke. Everybody knows that. Look, you can run the ball 20, 30 times a game. You can even throw it to Zeke. But there has to be something else out there that keeps defenses essentially honest, particularly on the back end. Amari Cooper did that. He did that in spite of not being in the passing program, not having all the off-season snaps that typically work in the favor of the chemistry of the quarterback. So I think that's helped Dak a lot to have essentially that extra piece to count on. But I'll say this about Prescott. There's no doubt when you watch him, and I've seen him quite a bit over this season, from a leadership standpoint, he's further where he is developmentally in terms of reading defenses, the accuracy, all these other things. Leadership-wise, there's no doubt. These guys all buy into him. He'll do certain things during games that lift the entire offense, particularly when there's, you know, designed runs, the guy's breaking tackles, he's not really sliding, he's playing physical. He has some resilience to him, and I think now you're starting to see the – you know, the reading, the defense, the mechanics, a lot of these other things are slowly catching up. I still think his next big jump is going to be next offseason when he's got Cooper that entire offseason, but definitely positive for Dak.
We were talking to Charles Robinson. You know, when you talk about leadership, I'm sure you'd see all those exact same things about Nick Foles. Now, he was not perfect throughout that game against the Bears, but he did exactly what you'd expect him to do in the clutch. In fact, how do you explain the fact that this guy comes through time and time again in all of those critical moments?
I think he probably knows the Doug Peterson playbook. I think Carson Wentz is the more talented player. I think Foles might be the better fit for Doug Peterson in that offense. Like, he's had years in the Kansas City system. He had some time in the Kansas City system. Obviously, he's had time in Philadelphia. So he knows that Doug Peterson offense, which is basically the Andy Reid offense, better than anyone. And so I think there's a certain comfort level that when he comes into the game, Carson Wentz goes down and he comes in late in the season. Not only does he have that experience from last year, but he knows enough to, I think, call that offense on his own. I think it's funny. We go back to the Philly special clip and people forget that it was Nick Foles who said to Doug Peterson, "Hey, Philly, let's run the Philly special." And Peterson thought about it first and said, "Yeah, let's do it." So arguably one of the most famous plays in the history of Philadelphia, it was Nick Foles who called that play. And I think that's part of it. I think that offense, they know when he steps in there, he's going to get everything right, you know, just from a structural standpoint, knowing where everyone's supposed to be. But look at the touchdown pass that he throws to Golden Tate, the arm slot. He drops it down. This is the kind of thing that he probably doesn't get a lot of credit for, where physically he is doing some things that set him apart for maybe other quarterbacks in the league. That was a moment where he had to be perfect. He's perfect on it. They obviously win that game. Nick Foles, I think Nick Foles is a fit. Very, very good for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, this guy goes on a run to the Super Bowl again. Man, that's going to be an interesting conversation in the offseason.
Charles Robinson joining us. All right, before I let you go, the Chargers, I thought, were really impressive in going back across the country. They took care of their business. They survived. They advanced. They get out with a win. Now they face the Patriots. When you look at this year's version of New England, what is their biggest weakness, and what kind of a shot do you give the Chargers this time?
It's probably New England's, honestly, it's the run defense, but I think what worries me more against Rivers is that although New England is a good pressuring team, sacks and drives, and New England, I think, is like pretty close to, I don't know, I think they had like 30 sacks this season, near the bottom of the NFL in sacks, like 29th, 30th, somewhere around there. You got to get home against Rivers, okay? Like, pressure, you can pressure Rivers, but he's at this stage in his career where I don't think pressure alone bothers him. Sacks are going to end drives. And so I think for New England, not just obviously the run defense is a problem. Thankfully, you know, I mean, maybe for New England, the Chargers are a little banged up in the backfield. Melvin Gordon didn't look, you know, the same Melvin Gordon that we've seen down the stretch. But I think, look, again, they got to get home. They got to get Phillip Rivers on the ground. They have to end drives and get off the field. That's the biggest thing for New England. And I would say to anybody who watches the Patriots, when they control tempo and have the ball more than 30 minutes, in other words, you win the time of possession, New England wins games. The way they're going to do that is by actually sacking Phillip Rivers and getting him down.
He is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports all over that league. Charles Robinson, starting the week off for us. Charles, great to have you back, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Rome. Anytime.
Good talking to you, always. Charles Robinson, breaking things down from this weekend, and a quick look ahead to the upcoming weekend, too. When we come back, Dallas Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith is scheduled to join us. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. After that, we are wide open until the top of hour number three. First.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is time to ask the pros. You get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask the question there. I will answer one of them later on. And remember, O'Reilly Auto Parts, for all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are now out to Jalen Smith. We are efforting him. Dallas advances. Big win over Seattle. Meantime, this email says, Romes, I'll be the first to admit, I've never really thought all that much about Foles being an elite quarterback. It's getting hard to say that he's just lucky when he keeps winning games that everybody says he will lose. Dude just keeps winning. Everybody else on that team plays harder when he's the starting quarterback. Looks like Wentz is the guy that should be getting some new luggage to me. Thanks for having Dabo on the other day. Hopefully some of that jungle karma rubs off on the Tigers tonight. Would love to see Saban be pissed off more than he normally is. War to the Tigers. Yeah, I don't know what's so hard to figure out about Nick Foles. I mean, this guy's the real deal. How anybody would say otherwise after what he did last year is beyond me. But if you saw what he did then and you felt that way, that's one thing. But to see what he did then and to see what he's doing right now is something totally different. I actually agree with Charles Robinson. Wentz, you look at these two guys side by side, Wentz clearly is the more talented player. But Foles is a better fit in that system. He owns that system. He knows that system. He dominates that system. Was there any doubt at all that he was going to finish that game the way he did? And if not the way he did, but that he would finish it, period. Man, this is who this guy is. This is what he does. This is the whole point. And while they're not the same team they were a year ago, if this guy can somehow put together another run that ends the same way that run ended, then you tell me who the quarterback is there. This guy's the real deal. Man, there's nothing lucky about that. There's no fluke to that. Not when he does it time and time again. Jimmy, being 40, I contemplate letting myself go all the time. You know, just skipping the gym, eating whatever I want all day, every day, becoming a complete slob. You see, I can think like that because, let's face it, the glory days are long gone. But will someone please tell Sebastian Fatikowski that for the time being, he is still on an NFL team and his fat ass still has a job to do. I mean, how the hell do you pull a freaking hammy doing the only thing that you get paid to do? A stretch every now and again doesn't cross your mind when you get paid to kick a ball, you disgusting tub. War XR4TI putting out the nerds of 2019 calendar. Unwar me losing 2 to 5 IQ points every time I hear Adam Hawk on the mic. Martin in Vancouver. U.S. of A.
Nerd! Nerd!
Boy, that was something, right? Who'd you have in that game? Were you +2.5 or -2.5? And as far as you losing 2 to 5 IQ points every single time you hear Hawk on the mic, you're going to be really smart today. You'll be a genius. He's not in. Hawk hit me with the 4:30 a.m. text. I don't feel so well, boss. I said, Hawk, don't bring that around here. Don't get the rest of us sick. It is the most important month of the year. Do not bring that around here. Do not get the rest of us sick. So in other words, if you want in today, you should call the program. You don't have to get through Hawk, which is the easiest thing to do. You have to get through Keith Arnold. Not as easy to do. He of the pepperoni nipples, allegedly. And Big Steve, 8921 tweets, that Bears loss is not on Parkey. It's on the GM and head coach. He missed 10 field goals during the regular season. This is like a manager sticking with their closer who got lit up all season for no other reason than blind loyalty. Chargers made a kicking change, and look at them. That's true. Except Chicago thought they had their kicker. That's why they guaranteed him all the money they guaranteed him. Benny in Wisco tweets, not sure who to take this weekend, but it was comforting to take the Pats last night. Thanks. Cody Parkey's shoulders. All right.
No, senor!
No, senor. I'll say it again. The guy had the kick tipped. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I'm efforting Jalen Smith. I will have him momentarily. Dana Holgerson, Cougars head football coach, is going to join me in hour number three. Dallas advancing. They took care of their business against Seattle. Now they've got a trip out here to take on the LA Rams. Great matchups on Wild Card Weekend, and there are going to be some good matchups going forward, too. As promised, we're joined right now by a linebacker for the Cowboys. Big game, 7 tackles. He had a pass defensed in Saturday's win over Seattle for the season. 121 tackles, 4 sacks, 4 passes defensed, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumbles recovered, and a touchdown in the regular season. He was a Buckus Award winner in high school and in college. A consensus All-American at Notre Dame. He was the 34th pick in the 2016 draft out of Notre Dame. And as I mentioned, Cowboys at the Rams. That's a Saturday night game. We are joined by Jalen Smith. Jalen, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Great to talk to you. Listen, you've played on the biggest stage throughout your football career, including your time at Notre Dame and now with the Cowboys. But what's it like being in the playoffs at home and coming out with a win like that? How would you describe that feeling?
Oh, it's a wonderful feeling, man. Any chance that you can get to go out and play this great game that we all love, you have to cherish it. And I'm thankful to be a part of America's team and just representing the right way.
You mentioned America's team. You know, I was talking earlier this season about how the Cleveland Browns were now America's team, but then you get that win last night or the win over the weekend against Seattle. What's it like having that star on your helmet and being a part of America's team?
It's a wonderful feeling. It's a privilege, not a right, you know, to be able to wear this, you know, this uniform and this star proudly. You know, it's just something that you can carry, you know, throughout the rest of your life. So, like I said, I'm thankful, you know, but we got a lot of work to do still.
Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith is my guest. You know, you look at that game. It was a monster showing, I thought, by the defense, especially in shutting down Seattle's run game. They came into Saturday with the best rushing offense in the league, and yet you dominated them. So what was your mindset going into the game?
Yeah, the mindset was as simple as that, to you know, be more physical than our opponent and impose our will, stop the run. We were able to do that. You know, we just got to continue that, you know, throughout the next weeks.
Jalen Smith, my guest. You showed up after the game, I thought, with an amazing look, which included 3 incredible chains, one with your swipe celebration, a hot boys chain from DeMarcus Lawrence, and an emblem from Africa. Can you kind of break down what those symbols mean, each one of those? What was that about?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, as you guys know a little bit about hot boys and what we're about, you know, just a tribe, a unit. You know, much more than teammates. We're brothers. And in order to get the hot boy chain, you have to be voted in as a hot boy for sure. You have to get 2 sacks. So I was able to earn my 2 sacks quite early in the season, so I was able to get my hot boy chain. And then, you know, the swipe is obviously a symbolization of a Queer Eye View and my celebration, something I've been doing since my sophomore year of high school at Bishop Lewis in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So just, you know, a little recognition on that from a branding standpoint. And then Africa, I'm 18% South African and 47% from Benin and Togo. So, you know, just being really in tune with, you know, my culture and where I'm from. I was able to visit South Africa my sophomore year at Notre Dame studying abroad. So that was an amazing experience. But, yeah, I mean, that's just a kind of a representation, a symbolization of, you know, kind of what I rock.
I like it. I like it. Well done. We're talking to Jalen Smith. Now, your front seven is nasty, but in particular, there's that combination of you and Leighton Vander Esch. I don't know how many times I've had former players or analysts on this show this season that have raved about the speed that you guys have and how hard you both hit. What's it like playing alongside him and forming that combination?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great tandem. You know, we've had a chance to build our chemistry for a long time, you know, since he got drafted, you know, learning from each other side by side. And we're able to put, you know, our elite capabilities on display. We feed off of each other. We love one another. So, like I said, you just got to keep it going.
Jalen Smith talking to me for a few more moments. You know, you've got the coaching staff, and they were under a little bit of fire earlier this season, and then you guys turned it all around. I want to ask you about a guy that you play for, a guy that I really admire, always have, Rod Marinelli. Now, Rod's got this award that he gives out, but it's really rare. The award itself is an old neck roll, and you joined Barry Church and J.J. Wilcox as the only Cowboy players ever to earn it. It's the ultimate sign of respect from Rod. What did it mean to you when he gave that to you?
Man, it meant the world to me. You know, people are understanding and being able to see and visualize my, you know, the physical play that I play with, the physicalness, you know, when making tackles and things of that nature. But for the defensive coordinator to acknowledge me with that award is a tremendous honor. It's something I'll carry for the rest of my life.
I mean, Jalen, seeing you fly around right now is one thing, but it's quite another when you consider that brutal, brutal knee injury that you suffered in the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, I understand that you're looking ahead and not looking back, but it would have been really easy to get down after something like that, maybe even start to question yourself, but you rehabbed that injury like a champ. How did you go about approaching that road back, and how lonely a road is that?
Man, a clear-eyed view, focused vision, at the time of relief and earned dreams. That's got me to where I am today. I never played a game again, and, you know, just blessed to have this opportunity. And, you know, the biggest thing I did was embrace each season that I was in. So I'm embracing this season for sure.
Hey, can you explain that really quickly before you go? I've heard you talk about that. I like that a lot, that clear-eyed view. What does that mean to you, having a clear-eyed view?
So a focused vision is, you know, being able to identify what you want to accomplish and being able to see it clearly. And then a determined belief is about, you know, a self-belief, a belief in yourself, a belief in God that he has your back, you know, throughout this process. And then earned dreams is just about how bad do you want it? You know, what work are you willing to put in to accomplish that goal? So a clear-eyed view. I came up with in my sophomore year of college, just, you know, this platform that we're on, what defines me? You know, how can I get out and get people to understand who I am? And, you know, fortunate enough to be able to put that on display. So I believe everyone should have a clear-eyed view, whether you play sports or not.
What do you do if you're not an athlete, you're not playing the game at a high level, like if it's me or somebody else listening, what's their clear-eyed view? How do we approach it?
It's the same way. It's those three scenarios. It's those three breaking points when you break down the clear-eyed view: a focused vision, a determined belief, and earned dreams.
Cowboys at the Rams coming up on Saturday night. It's a short week, 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Jalen Smith, Cowboys linebacker, joining us. Jalen, really appreciate you and you finding time to come on the show today, man. That was great. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. And you take care, man. Go Cowboys.
You too. Jalen Smith, unbelievable player. Unbelievable player having an unbelievable year. Man, Trevor Price. When Trevor Price and I did the RPO, Trevor Price played 14 years in the NFL. He won a couple of Super Bowl rings. I don't think there was an episode or a game that they played that he did not rave about Jalen Smith. 34th pick in the 2016 draft out of Notre Dame. All right, so off to a really good start. Now we're open until hour number three. Now is the time to call 1-800-636-8686. Dana Holgorsen coming up in the third hour. The second hour is wide open. I want to get to all the other games that we did not talk about this past weekend, including the Chargers going to Baltimore and taking care of the Ravens. Your thoughts on what you just heard also from Jalen Smith. Hour number two, straight ahead. You're in the jungle. Do not go anywhere.